Today we're going to build a dark, resampled Amen-style bass line for smoky warehouse vibes in Ableton Live 12. And just to be clear, this is not about designing a perfect clean sub. We're after something raw, rolling, a little claustrophobic, and full of movement. The kind of bass layer that sits under a jungle or DNB arrangement and adds tension without stepping on the kick and snare. The big idea here is simple. Performance first, cleanup later. So instead of obsessing over a flawless synth patch, we're going to write a short bass phrase, push it through a character chain, print it to audio, then chop, reverse, and reshape it into a riser or transition tool. That's where the Reedle energy comes from. Start by setting session tempo somewhere around 172 to 174 BPM. Load up your Amen-inspired drums or a solid DNB drum loop, and keep it playing while you work. That matters, because this bass line needs to live inside the groove, not above it. If your kick and snare are already punching well, the bass can play support and leave space where it counts, especially around those snare hits on 2 and 4. Now create a new MIDI track and load operator. Keep the source tone simple at first. Use oscillator as a sine wave, and either turn oscillator B off or keep it extremely low. Set a low-pass filter, something like 24 dB. And shape the amp envelope so the notes stay short and controlled. A quick attack, a moderate decay, a decent amount of sustain if needed, and a short release will get you into that tight, percussive zone. When you write the MIDI, think in short phrases, not big melodies. A good Amen-style bassline feels syncopated and conversational. Put notes just before or after the snare, leave a bit of silence, and let the rhythm breathe. One bar or two bar patterns usually work best. Try a short note on beat 1, another on the offbeat, a little gap, then a response near beat 3 or beat 4. The goal is to feel like the bass is reacting to the drums. Stay in a dark minor key. F minor, G minor, A minor, or C minor are all good starting points. Keep the pitch movement minimal. Use the root, minor third, flat fifth, octave jumps, and maybe a little semitone movement for tension. Don't overwrite it. In this style, the attitude comes more from timing and processing than from complex harmony. Once the MIDI phrase is in place, build a character chain on the synth track. After operator, add saturator, then roar, then auto filter, then redux, and finally utility. This is where the plain bass becomes a smoky warehouse sound. Start with saturator. A few dB of drive, maybe 3 to 8 dB, with soft clip turned on, can thicken the tone nicely. Compensate the output so you're shaping the sound, not just making it louder. Next, use roar for controlled destruction. Keep the drive moderate, darken the tone a bit, and blend it in rather than going full meltdown. You want smoke, not blown speaker chaos. Then use auto filter in low pass mode to narrow the sound before the resample. You can leave the cutoff fairly low at first, somewhere around 120 to 300 Hz, with a little resonance if you want some edge. After that, add redux very carefully. A slight reduction in bit depth and sample rate can give that dusty old sampler character that works so well in jungle-inspired material. Keep the mix subtle. This is seasoning, not the whole meal. Finish with utility to keep an eye on mono compatibility, especially if your low end needs to stay centered. Now comes the part that makes this technique powerful. Automate movement before you print anything. Don't just build a static bass patch and resample that. Record the motion into the audio. Open the filter over 4 or 8 bars. Increase the drive a little as the phrase develops. Push roar slightly harder toward the build. Maybe shorten or lengthen the decay depending on how the phrase should breathe. If it helps the tension, even automate a small pitch lift or transpose movement at the end. A good structure is to start dark and hidden, then slowly reveal more harmonics. For example, bars 1 and 2 can be low-passed and restrained. Bars 3 and 4 can open a little. Bars 5 and 6 can get more aggressive. Bars 7 and 8 can lift in pitch by 1 to 3 semitones and feel like they're leaning toward the drop. This is the useful ugliness stage. If the bass is almost breaking up, folding in pitch, or getting unstable in a musical way, that's usually a good sign. Once the motion feels right, create a new audio track and set its input to resampling. Arm that track and record the bass phrase in real time. This is the moment where you commit the performance into audio and give yourself something you can manipulate like a sample. Resample a few different passes if possible. One cleaner pass, one more distorted pass, one with more filter movement, and one with extra pitch motion. That gives you options when it's time to arrange. After the resample is printed, drag the audio clip onto a new track and start transforming it. One approach is to reverse a phrase and stretch it over 2 or 4 bars. Warp it in complex pro or beats depending on the texture you want. Reversing the tail of the bass phrase and letting it swell upward creates a really effective pre-drop pull. Another approach is to slice the audio to a new MIDI track. Use transient if the phrase has clear attacks, or 1/16 if it's already rhythmically consistent. Then reprogram the slices in a new MIDI clip. Repeat a low fragment, stutter a harmonic piece, leave a gap, then bring it back in. This works especially well when the arrangement is already full of Amen-style drum fills. You can also build a pitcherized texture by duplicating the audio clip several times and transposing each copy upward in steps, like 0, plus 2, plus 3, plus 5 semitones. Filter the higher versions more aggressively, add reverb to the top layer only, and keep the low layer dry or muted. That gives you a dark D&B lift without relying only on white noise. Speaking of noise, adding a separate atmospheric layer can really sell the warehouse vibe. You can use operator noise mode, analog noise, or even a short field recording or vinyl hiss sample. Run it through a high pass filter that opens upward, then add echo and reverb for space. Keep it wide, but only on the atmospheric layer. Something like 120 to 140% width can work well there. This makes the transition feel like the room itself is opening up. At this stage, keep the low end disciplined. Split the rise into layers if you can. Your sub or low mid layer should stay mono and controlled. The upper harmonic layer can be wider, dirtier, and more animated. The noise layer can sit high and airy. On the low layer, use utility in mono and clean up any unnecessary rumble below 25 to 35 Hz. On the upper layer, use filter automation, roar, saturator, maybe even a tiny bit of frequency shifter for instability, plus echo or reverb for depth. That separation keeps the drop punchy, while still giving the build plenty of grit. When arranging the transition, think in clear bar lengths. Advanced D&B builds usually feel stronger when the resample follows a clean 1, 2, 4, or 8 bar structure. A solid 8 bar example would be bars 1 and 2, a filtered bass phrase with minimal noise. Bars 3 and 4, the resampled bass opens up and adds harmonics. Bars 5 and 6, chopped reverse fragments enter. Bars 7 and 8, pitch rises, noise swells, and the filter opens fully. Then cut it hard right before the drop and let the first kick and snare hit with total contrast. A few pro habits make this workflow much stronger. Leave headroom before resampling, so the print doesn't flatten into a clipped rectangle. Record multiple passes at different energy levels so you have editorial options later. And after resampling, rename clips by function, not just sound. Names like Bass Rise Dark 4B, Reverse Tail Wet, or Fill Burst Pitched make arrangement decisions way faster. If you want to push this even further, try a ghost note response version where a second bass phrase answers the main line with just one or two notes. Or duplicate the resample and nudge the copy a few milliseconds later with a tiny detune. That microscopic offset can make the bass feel warped and alive. You can also go more minimal instead of more dense. Sometimes removing notes as the drop approaches creates more tension than adding them. Negative space is a huge part of this style. Here is a useful way to think about the whole process. The bass line should feel like it's reacting to the drums. A hit, a response, a tail, a fill, a final stop. If the bass and drums are talking to each other, the whole transition feels intentional and genre correct. So to recap, build a short rhythmic bass phrase with operator, shape it with saturator, roar, auto filter, redux and utility, automate the movement, resample it to audio, then reverse, chop, stretch, transpose and layer it with atmosphere. That's how you turn a simple bass idea into a smoky warehouse riser that can drive a D&B or jungle transition with real weight. The key takeaway is this. In drum and bass, the bass line gets more powerful when you treat it like a sample. Once you start printing motion and editing the audio like a break, the whole thing opens up. Dark, rhythmic, gritty, and alive. That's the vibe.